Welcome to Flood Church Lilongwe's Inspiring Sermon Podcast, where faith meets community. Join us on a transformative journey as we explore the Word together. Stay tuned for messages that uplift and empower. Let's dive in.
Thank you, Pastor Humphreys, for leading us in such a wonderful time of worship. Just to reflect on how good God is and all his wonderful mercies towards us. And he is love, and he came down just to die for us, just to save us and to rescue us. Thank you for that. I will ask that we close our eyes and pray again. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we're thanking you for this time of worship that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for you have brought us together so we can just be reminded that you are love, and we are highly loved, Lord. You're always there for us, guiding and protecting us, O Lord. You are there to lead us and to guide us, to hold us by the hand and to help us walk in this Christian life, O Lord. Thank you for such a wonderful calling, O Lord, to be in your presence. In Jesus' name, Lord, we praise you. We glorify your name. Amen. So, yeah, as you have heard from Pastor Humphreys, my name is Tia. I am Tia Falinya, and I'm married to Sandra, the lady in red or pink. Yeah. And me and my wife are one of the families that host the Area 49 New Shire Growth Group. I know there are a lot of people here from Area 49. I encourage you to show up to Area 49 Growth Group. It is a great place that we get to share Christ with one another. And I understand there are a lot of people who are married in here as well. We also have the pleasure to host the Married Couples Connect. So we hosted at our house as well in Area 49. And I encourage you all to come. Men, it is a great space for married couples just to encourage each other in this walk of Christ and to on how we can best take care of our families as we are raising them for Christ. And I encourage you all who are married to come show up to such a wonderful space as well. And there is food as well, so you should come. You see, if the devil will destroy people, and if the devil will destroy the future, he first targets families. And he knows if life is not okay in our families, and our families are not okay, he has us, and we cannot continue in this walk in Christ, because he has us destroyed from the root. Today's reading is coming in from Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 14 to 21. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. So, starting from verse 14, which reads, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church, and in Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So I would like to give out a background to this sermon series, Made New. In the sermon series, Made New, we have been challenged to explore the profound reality of embracing the newness in Jesus as it goes beyond simply modifying our behavior. It is a complete transformation of our being. It beckons us to recognize and embrace the truth that we are being made new in Christ. The newness in Christ calls us for a life of vitality and purpose. It calls us to work our salvation and to live it out, to show other people that we are truly saved and to serve people and show them the love that we have in us of the one who created us and the one who saved us. We have been existing, but now we are called to truly live in Christ. And the challenge is not to only acknowledge our newness in Christ, but to actively live it out. So it requires a shift in mindset and commitment to align our actions with our new identity. It demands an intentional and purposeful approach to living out this transformation. So this is an invitation to a life that is truly transformed and life that is truly lived for Christ. So as we have seen from today's reading, here is Paul sincerely praying for a church that was in Ephesus, encouraging them in prayer. And I tried looking up on Google to say, how far is Rome and Ephesus? Between Rome and Ephesus, what's the distance? So it had a number. I think everyone has their own way of calculating distance, but it said something like it's 8,000 kilometers by plane. When you're traveling by plane, it goes up to 8,000 kilometers. And if you put up a straight line, it's about 1,300 kilometers. So all in all, despite the differences in numbers, it is really far from Rome to Ephesus. How many of us, when we hear there is like tribulation in, let's say, Cape Town in South Africa, how many of us can end up kneeling down on our knees just to pray for a church that is that far away? But here Paul is showing us how he loved the church even in Ephesus by praying for them earnestly. He bowed, he got on his knees just to pray for a church that was even far away from him. And Paul prayed four petitions for this church in Ephesus. So I'll share with you these petitions before we go into the sermon. And the first petition was that God would grant them, according to the riches of his glory, the strength to be strength with power or might through his spirit in the inner man. And secondly, that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith. And thirdly, Paul's petition for the church was that they be rooted and grounded in love. The fourth petition was that they may be filled with the fullness of God. So those are the four petitions that Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus. The title of this sermon today is Made New Because We Are Fully Loved. Made New Because We Are Fully Loved. And as we see from chapter 1 up to chapter 3, Paul shares of the mystery that was revealed to him as he called himself, the least of the apostles. And that mystery is that God is one for all. You see, in this time, people doubted to say, can God be ours as well, especially the Gentiles. They doubted their childship, their sonship, I would say, in God to say, can we really be truly saved, just like the Jews? And Paul encouraged them to say, God is one for all of you. So being a spiritual place, even before the gospel was brought to them, Ephesus had a lot of gods before that. So people were more spiritual in a way that they prayed to a lot of false gods, and they had one big god who they called Artemis. And because of the superstition surrounding Artemis, a lot of people kept on sacrificing a lot of things just to please this god Artemis. And having the gospel brought to them, they had some misconceptions and some heresies, some wrong doctrines that they got from their old identity. They got together, they brought them into their new identity, which was found in Christ. And even at that time, there were Jews living in Rome at that time, in Ephesus. And then these Jews as well, when they received the good news of Christ, they also had their doctrines that they brought from their old belief system as well. And there was a clash between the Jews and the Gentiles of Ephesus, as all of these groups felt like they were more holy and doing the right thing than the other group. And Paul was encouraging them to say, God is one for all of you, and God loves you the same. So here, Paul is praying for this group earnestly as these people who are now a new creation are one in Christ. And as we read in verse 14, which reads, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family, in this case, both the Jews and the Gentiles, name is derived." And as the Bible says, from each family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Many times we struggle as Christians with prayer. If we hear of tomorrow is prayer cafe, how many of us get excited and say, okay, this is another time that I'll go and talk to God? How many of us end up coming just to show up in the presence of God and pray with other people? I'm also one of the people who fail most of the times to show up in prayer circles. But as Christians, we need to understand that prayer is key in our lives. How many of us would rather pray the prayer that says, "Search me, O Lord. Know my anxious thoughts, O Lord." How many of us would love to lay ourselves vulnerable to prayer and let God just expose the weaknesses in us? Because through prayer, God reveals all our heart's desires, things that are hidden deep down in us, things that we do when we are alone. God reveals them to us and shows them to us through prayer. How do we treat our colleagues? How do we treat our households? How do we treat people around us? Prayer is key in our Christian walk. But sadly, many people run away from such a key thing to do in Christianity. I would also give an example from the past church that we used to go, our old church. There was a time where there was a section of the service which was called the intercessory prayer time. And this was the time that a lot of people got on their phones, a lot of people got to sleep, and a lot of people lost attention to the service because it was intercessory prayer time. I doubt they were losing focus because maybe it was a long prayer or it was just prayer. We as Christians, we are reminded that prayer is key. Here Paul says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father," praying for people who were far away from him, as I shared. And he bowed to show submission to God. He prayed earnestly for other people. And there were four petitions, as I shared as well, that Paul prayed for these people of Ephesus. And the first petition, as I will share, and before I share, I just want you to note that all the petitions that Paul shared with the people, prayed for the people, we're starting with the word "that." And then there are four petitions that Paul prayed for these people. And the first one is this one, verse 16. So verse 16 reads, "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man." Paul knew that his imprisonment, through his imprisonment, maybe a lot of people would back down their faith and lose hope because, you know, the big guy was arrested. And what do you do when a big guy is arrested? All of you end up losing track and you end up losing it. You're like, okay, if the one who brought this gospel to us has been arrested, why should I keep on going? Why should I keep on holding on? And Paul prayed for these people knowing that his imprisonment was for their glory, just like he said on verse 30, which reads, "Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory." Paul's tribulations were their glory, and Paul prayed for them to say, "Don't lose hope. This imprisonment that I've been imprisoned is for your glory." And he prays for the growth of their inner man, knowing that even outwardly, as they were, as they may have been wearing away and worried, but if their inner man, their inner spirit was strengthened, then that was a big win for them. To say that's all that matters. Even while outwardly they may be wearing away, But inwardly, they are being renewed day by day. It is the same for us nowadays, as we may have sicknesses in our bodies. We may be wearing away outwardly, but if we are being renewed every day in the inner man, we gain strength in Christ. And even through tribulations, just like Paul was rejoicing even through tribulations, because he was so grown in the inner man. So he prays for us for the same, that we may not lose heart, but keep on growing in the inner heart, in the inner man. I'll remind you of a story of Job. Job, who went through, I would say, one of the hardest tribulations in the Bible. He was told by people who he loved. He was told by his friends to just curse God and die. He was told by friends, wives, the wife told him to just give up and curse God and die. Many of us, including me, if I was told by my wife then to say, just lose heart, just curse God and die, I think I would be one of those who would say, I think you're right. Because one time my wife told me, I was working then, before I started doing business, my wife told me, hey man, just resign from that job. And I listened. So being in a tribulation such big, I would think that I would have also given up. But here we are encouraged to grow our inner man. The more our inner man is growing, the more we also we rejoice even through the tribulations. The second petition that Paul prays for the people of Ephesus, and which is a prayer for us today as well, is that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So when Christ was going to heaven, he said he was not going to leave us all alone, but he was going to send us a comforter. We can't live this Christian life on our own. It's not an easy thing to do. It's an impossible thing to be done. We cannot live it by ourselves alone. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And as a truly changed Christian, as a truly transformed Christian, there are marks that we see that can be seen, or that you can do to show that you are really changed and you are living in the life of the one as called by the one who changed you. And this is by recognizing who we are in Christ, our identity in him, and that we are children of God, as we were fearfully and wonderfully made. Which means when God was making us, he was making us with love. He made us with perfection and wonderfully to do out the good works that were predestined, as Chico shared from Ephesians 2 verse 10. A mark of good works has to be seen in Christians, for it is something that we were called for. We were saved by grace through faith for the good works that God predestined for us. As a new creation, we need to have faith in Christ. We as believers need to walk knowing we have Christ as our Lord. And Christ is our elder, the firstborn in our family. I have my firstborn in our firstborn in our family is a lady. And growing up, people knew that nobody would mess with me, because she's my sister, she is my elder sister, and nobody would mess with me, as she was there to protect me. So what more with Christ being the firstborn in our family? We are well protected, and we need to live out with faith, in faith in him, that he is the firstborn of our family. And this shows us that we are truly covered. And when Christ is dwelling in us, it manifests as we throw away the old life. The way we used to live is changed. We stop sinning. A change of behavior is seen in people who have received Jesus Christ. And we let the Holy Spirit renew our thoughts and attitudes. And we desire to know God intimately by recognizing the Bible as the only authority, and we get to love to read it day in and day out as we grow in it. And also as we grow in Christ, we look for ways to love and serve others. Love is a key thing in a Christian. You cannot be a Christian and not love. We are Christians and we love, and we find ways to love people around us and to love God even more. As a new creation, you also find strength to resist sin and temptation. So this is what the Spirit-filled life looks like, as Paul is describing it to us, to us believers. And we cannot do this by our own might. We need power that comes from the Holy Spirit. We cannot be rooted in Christ if we don't cultivate it as a culture to remain in God's word, and God's word remain in us. The third petition that Paul prays for the church in Ephesus and us today is that they be rooted and grounded in love and may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. As Christians, we first need to know that the love of God is the foundation of our faith. As we grow in love, we also grow in our Christian walk. And as we grow in love, we get to show what love is, as God is love. And love is patient, and love is kind. Love is not jealousy. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffering, and does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. Love is all of these, and God is love. And as we walk with Christ, we learn to be as such. Paul uses the idea of to be rooted and grounded in love. As we know, trees, if we see a bigger tree, it can never have short roots. If a tree keeps on growing bigger, its roots keep on going deeper as well, and it is being rooted. So Paul uses the idea of being rooted, as he knows that this Christian walk is a walk of daily sanctification. It's a walk of daily renewal. And just like a tree never stops growing, our Christian walk, we are encouraged to never stop growing in knowing Christ as well. And as we grow, we start to produce the fruit of the Spirit, and which is love, joy, peace, forbearance, gentleness, and self-control. We need to keep on growing as we are. We need to keep on growing as a tree that has been planted by the streams of water, just as it is described in Psalm 1, verse 1 up to 3, which says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers." And also Paul uses the idea of being grounded after he has used the idea of being rooted. For a building to be strong in its foundation, it needs to be well grounded. And if a building is not well grounded, it's easy for natural disasters or any other forces to bring it down. And he goes on to say in verse 18, to say, "We may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth." So in Paul's prayer, he keeps on praying for us to say, we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of God. As I said, this Christian life It's not a journey to be walked alone. It is a journey to walk with others. We are the church. All of us are the church. The building is not the church, but we people are the church. Even with those outside there and their believers, we are the church. So we need to walk together to comprehend the love of God that is there for us. And I love how here at Flood Church, we have a lot of connect groups, many connect groups, just to suit our interests. There is a cycling club here at Flood Church where people who are interested in cycling and Christ, they can go and ride together. There is Single Parents Connect here where all the single parents can meet up and just comprehend the love of Christ even in their singleness together. There Married Couples Connect, as I've said, where those who are married can be able to meet up and comprehend the love of Christ together. So when we meet up as groups, we get to comprehend the love that Christ has for us together. And the idea of measure, to say, of measure in this sense, the breadth and depth, length and height, is that we may be able to comprehend the breadth and length, which means even if you decide for one person to go to the east and one person to go to the west, just to search how big this love of Christ is, we can never exhaust the love of Christ. We'll keep on going and never come back because the love of Christ is so big, is so broad, and it's so long. And also, he uses the idea of height and depth to say, just as we have heard in the past Sundays, even if you were dead in your sins, Christ would still go to the deepest of deepest just to bring you out and to save you from your sins. So God's love can never be exhausted. It has no limit. Many times, maybe we may not please God, and we are there thinking, okay, then how can God love me in this kind of sin that I'm constantly in? God will still love you. No matter what you do, his love can never be terminated from you. You may grieve him, but God's love is still there for you, and he's always there to care for you. The fourth petition that Paul prayed was that the people may be filled with the fullness of God. As I've said, God's fullness is so broad, and nobody can ever deplete it. God's fullness is very big, and no one can ever be able to fully comprehend it. And it's only by Him and through Him that we get to know Him deeply. But still, as believers, we can never be able to know and experience the greatness of God, except through devotion in Him. We need to be devoted in Him so that we can understand God's love and be able to partake in this love of God. You may be wondering that, okay, today I'm talking to believers only, and how can I be one of those who can partake in this love of God that He has for His people? You can partake in this love of God that He has for His people by being born again. And being born again is accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. Accepting Christ that He is the one who, only through Him, you can be saved. And you may be wondering, okay, how can I do this? We have prayer counselors here at Flood Church who are by the sides of the church. And at any time, you can always meet them just to learn how you can be able to become born again. It is a beautiful walk. It is a good walk, whose comforter is the Holy Spirit, who keeps on guiding us and helping us even through tribulations. We learn to find happiness even through tribulations. We learn to grow, and we grow in Christ. Let us pray. Our Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your good to us. Lord, thank you so much for you chose to come down on earth and to die for us, Lord. We were deep in our sins, and you chose us, O Lord. We don't take this for granted, Lord, for you died for us, O Lord, and saved us from our sins. We pray for all of those who have not yet received you, O Lord, may you move their hearts, O Lord, so that they can receive you, Lord. And it is for that reason that you brought them today, so that they can just listen to your word and remind them that they are fully loved, and remind all other Christians, Lord, of their identity in you, Lord. May we not doubt our salvation, O Lord. May we be reminded daily that you are the one who saved us, and you are the only one who is our guide and Lord, O Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, I praise you. I glorify your name. For you are good to us. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen.